to the Write for a Living podcast, the show where I interview writers of all kinds who are writing for a living. And today I am talking to Andrew, who is a copywriter. So welcome to the show, Andrew.
Hello, Carly. Well, thanks for having me.
So I have a few icebreaker questions to start. And the first one is, what is the last book that you read or your favorite book in general?
The last book I read. I think the last book I read was Reframe Your Brain by Scott Adams.
What's that one about?
It's a book all about changing how you look at things. For example, it started with Scott when he wanted to stop drinking alcohol. And he reframed alcohol as alcohol is poison. So whenever he thought about having a drink, he thought alcohol is poison. And eventually it came to him, you know, that became second nature. He doesn't touch alcohol because it's poison. And it gives you lots of those reframes you can use throughout your life. And I thought that was just a really interesting idea.
So what is your favourite food?
Favourite food? Oh, say steak. That's an easy answer. I don't know whether it's my very favourite, but you can't go wrong with a good bit of steak.
Yeah, you can't. And the last question is, do you know Star Wars?
I was born in 79 and kind of grew up with it, so...
Okay, yes. So if you were a Star Wars character, which one would you be?
Which one would I like to be? It'd probably be the question I answer. I don't want to know which one I'd actually be. You'd like to be Han Solo.
Yeah, he's my favourite. He's my favourite, hands down. So let's get into the writing questions now, but thank you so much. We know a little bit more about you, kind of. Okay. So what, if you can tell us, because you're a copywriter, what is a copywriter?
Okay, well, copywriting, basically, it's not a legal term. I think a lot of people hear copyright and they think copyright is in not being allowed to copy things. But in this context, we mean it as in writing for marketing. And it's got lots of different meanings. Like I said, writing for marketing is probably the most general. But what I specialise in, a lot of people, is a type of copywriting called direct response copywriting. And what that means is, well, it's almost as it sounds, you're writing to get a response from your audience, whether you want them to buy something, whether you want them maybe to sign up to a webinar, whether you want them to subscribe to your email list. Anything like that, where you've got one action you want the audience to take, and that's copywriting.
And so with that, it's direct response copywriting harder than, normal copywriting. It sounds like it would be a bit tougher because, you know, direct response, you need an immediate response from people.
It can be. That's not it. It's both its strength. It's a nice week because everything is monitored with it. It's all recorded and measured. You know, you can see how many people, let's say, saw what you're selling, and you can see how many people bought. So you get immediate feedback on whether you're doing works. And it is harder, but because of that feedback, you can make changes as well to it. So if it's not working, you can see, you know, what's wrong with it. Maybe the pictures are low quality. Maybe it's a bad headline or whatever. Then you can start to change it. So... yes, it can be difficult, but you do get that feedback, which helps with it.
And I saw on your profile that it said you've been copywriting since 2009. And I wondered how you got started and maybe what you were doing before that. Like, why did you decide to be a copywriter?
Okay, I'll try and give you a shortened version. This is quite a long one. This actually starts way back to when I was born. Because when I was born, I was a very, very sickly child. I had bad asthma. I could barely walk a couple of steps without being out of breath. I had bad eczema. I was wrapped up like a mummy pretty much from birth. So I couldn't, because as a baby, I couldn't scratch myself. I had to stop pouring with blood. And as a result of all this, I couldn't do any sort of activity or exercise or anything. I was about as big a nerd as you can get. You know, I'm not changing that aspect much, but I was. And then fast forward quite a few years, my teenage years, and I watched a Jackie Chan movie. And I thought, he's the greatest man ever. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I've got to do this. And the doctors were like, no, you can't do anything like this. And my parents were like, no, you can't do it. You'll break in half if you try anything like this. But I ignored them all. And I just started running. Everywhere I went, I ran. And eventually I got fit. I overcame my asthma. And then from there, I started learning martial arts. No, we will get to the copywriting, by the way. I know this is a long-winded story, but we will get
to it. It's great.
And I started martial arts. And from the very first class, you know, when the instructor's like, put your left leg forward. And I'm like, wait, left leg? Have I got a left leg? Which one's my left leg? Wait, now he's saying, put the right leg forward. Oh, God, which one's the right leg? And then from there, you know, I practiced hard. And within 6 months, I was leading the warm-up. And I ended up becoming a professional fighter and having a career as a fighter. Well, that's not entirely relevant. This, what is relevant is I started buying martial arts magazines. Now, these magazines, they never were and never have been any good. I mean, they're all just rubbish. But what I found fascinating in them were the adverts. You'd have these amazing adverts, like, you know, learn the skills of a US Navy SEAL or how to kill a man in 3 seconds. Anything like this. I thought they were the most amazing thing I'd ever read. Now, I didn't know anything about copywriting at the time, which is what they were, but it just fascinated me. And I would read the magazines just to read these adverts, you know, forget the article, you know, they were all rubbish. But the adverts, these were amazing. And then I didn't really do anything after that because, you know, you read an advert, you don't think, oh, I'm going to write these adverts. I didn't know anything about it. And I went off to university to study accounting. And while I was there, I got access to the internet for the first time. This would have been in the late 90s, not 97, 98. And then while searching for martial arts, I saw somebody wrote that these adverts were what they called Dan Kennedy style adverts. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I've got a name, this Dan Kennedy. Let's Google him. Well, no, the Google wasn't a thing back then. It was let's Yahoo him. So I searched for Dan Kennedy and found that he was offering a free 12-week course in copywriting. All you had to do was enter your email into this box and he would send you this course. No, and again, at the time, I'd heard nothing at all like that. Wow. So I was like, yeah, he can have my email address. And over 12 weeks, I got this course and I started to understand what copywriting was. He explained how it's, well, what I've explained earlier, it's writing to get your audience to take an action. And he explained all the basics about headlines, benefits, guarantees, offers, and that type of thing. And it fascinated me. But again, I didn't really do anything with it because I was at university, I was doing accounting, I was going to be an accountant. And then it turns out I hated accounting. One of the most boring things I've ever done in my life. So again, I finished my degree, I've passed just. And then I don't go into accounting. I basically just work a series of entry-level jobs. For example, I did some work ceiling fitting. I delivered the mail for a while. I worked in supermarkets. All just, you know, entry-level work like that. And then I got a job in sales. And at first I thought I wasn't sure whether I'd want it because I'm not the most social person in the world. I'm not the most natural speaker. But I thought, well, it was a good job. It was 9 to 5 hours. So I was usually working all over the place. But I'd take this, it's a steady job. And it turned out I was pretty good at it, which was surprising to most people to know and myself. But I was able to sell things quite well. And I did that for a few years. And then in 2008, the big financial crash hit. And a lot of businesses were going out of business. And we were in the camera business. And as well as the problems with that, people were also starting to use their phones now as cameras. Yeah. And so the business went under. And I was left without a job. And I thought, well, I know about this copywriting thing. And I've also had several years of sales experience. And, you know, I was still living at home with my parents. So I didn't actually have to pay any bills, really, you know. So I thought, well, why not give this copywriting thing a go? You know, try it for a year. If it works, hey, great. And if it doesn't, you know, never mind. Back to the workforce. And here I am, 14 years. Well, we're in 2024 now. That's 15 years later. I'm still at it.
Well, that's quite a journey. I didn't expect that all that, you know, the twists and turns, but that's amazing. And, you know, as you were saying, you got into sales and you didn't think you'd be good at it, and I'm listening to you and we're having this conversation here, it seems to me like, you know, I know why you were probably good at it, because, you know, you're good at talking and just having a general conversation, and probably people felt good about that instead of maybe pushy sales. I don't know, but, you know, I could see you being good at it.
Yeah, I mean, what you're seeing here is completely different to how I was at the start of my sales career. In fact, even a couple of years ago when I started online again on Twitter, the first time I did a space and talking to other people, you know, I was so nervous that my hand was physically shaking. So, you know, it keeps on getting better and better. And I'm a lot more comfortable now than I would have been 6 months ago. So,
it does get easier. I know that.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, people don't like kind of the pushy, stereotypical salesman.
Yeah.
Whereas true. I found a book. We received almost no sales training at all. It was terrible. But I found a book that basically said that sales is about finding the truth. And that's what's always resonated with me. So that, you know, if you wanted to come in and buy a camera from me, I'm not interested in selling you a camera. I'm interested in finding out your truth. What do you want that camera for? And then when I know exactly what you want that camera for, then I can recommend a few. And that's how I sold. It worked.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. How does that relate to copywriting? Because when you're in sales, you can kind of have a conversation. So how does that relate to copywriting? Kind of, because you can't really, I don't know, do you have conversation with customers or?
Yeah, it's sort of the same thing, just at a different time frame, almost. Like I said, if I wanted to sell you something, whatever, like say a camera, then I would ask you the questions. And then when I've got the answers, I'd then say, oh, you know, you want a small camera that will fit in your pocket. You want it to be good for fast moving things because you want to take photos of your kids. And you want it to be automatic, because otherwise you're not going to have a clue with it. And then I could recommend you a camera. In copywriting, if I was going to do the same thing, I would do the research first. So I would talk to customers. I would look on forums and Reddit and find out what people wanted in the camera. And then I would write that in the copy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's similar, but it's not the same. And of course, you can't fine tune it to every person. It is more general.
And did you always... So when you first started out in copywriting then, did you start a business doing it, or did you work for somebody else copywriting?
I've always worked for myself. I started out freelancing and I've always been that way. I think for a lot of people, it probably would make sense to work for someone else because it's a lot easier. You get money coming in right away and you're going to be getting trained and feedback on the job. Whereas with me, I was basically in my bedroom for 12 hours a day, either reading copywriting books or trying to get clients. I was writing on the internet and all that type of thing.
So what do you think that most people then don't understand about copywriting in general? What do you think is maybe a misunderstanding or something that people just don't get about it?
I think now, at least, a lot of people seem to see it as quick and easy money.
Mm,
and
yeah.
That's what attracts a lot of people. You've got these things, $10,000 a month in 30 days or something ridiculous like that. Whereas the truth is, it's very hard to actually get good. There's a large cliff, I think, in it. What I mean by that is most people who do it are probably just making an average wage. You know, they're just scraping by. And then... there's a few people who are earning a lot of money at it because it's a hard profession. You need to be really good at it to make good money. And yeah, I think a lot of people get suckered into it with false claims.
That's good to know because, yeah, there is a lot of videos on YouTube, a lot of people making courses and stuff like that. And sometimes in my mind, I think, okay, are they actually making money with clients copywriting, or are they just making money from their YouTube videos or something, right? So, yeah.
yeah, yeah, that's, Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of people who just make money teaching people how to make money rather than doing what they claim to be teaching.
Yeah.
But it's always easier to...
Sorry.
It's always easier to sell people the spade than it is to go out and do the digging.
Yeah, that's true. So what advice would you have then for somebody who is listening to this, right? They think, okay, I do want to be a copywriter. What advice would you have for them at getting started? They understand that it's not as easy as people might claim it to be. So they know that there might be a little bit of a rough start, or like at least they're going to have to do a lot of homework. What other advice would you have for them?
I probably would consider going and working for somebody else first, if that's possible. If there's any marketing agencies in your town, and it's a job you can do remotely. It's not so you can often find opportunities elsewhere in the country and even elsewhere in the world, depending where you live. And as well as that, you can also work for kind of non-agencies. Well, some companies will have full-time copywriters on the books, so you can look for those. But if you do want to kind of commit to the madness and go freelance from the start, like I did, then the first thing I would do is make sure you focus on getting good. So while you're doing everything else, get good. You know, buy books on it, watch those YouTube videos and learn your craft. But then make sure everyone in your network knows that you're now a copywriter. And when I say network, people might be like, oh, well, aren't we? I've got a network. But network's just a fancy way of saying people you know. So that would be, you know, your friends, your family, if you've still got a job, your colleagues, ex-colleagues, anything like that, make sure they know you're a copywriter and see if they've got anything for you. And as well as that, you can ask them if they know anyone who might be able to help or might have any work for you, so you can take advantage of their networks too. And that's a good way to start. It's relatively low risk. It's not costing you much in terms of time or money to do. And you'll almost always find somebody who wants something doing. Because when you start out, you don't want to aim to make the big money. Because without any sort of experience or track record, it's hard to get it. And people are reluctant to pay it as well when you're just starting out. You really want to get the experience in, maybe get a testimonial with someone saying how great you are. And then you can, from there, you can just start to go to bigger and bigger jobs and work your way up.
And I guess from that, we didn't really touch on, like, so a copywriter writes marketing copy. But, like, what does that entail? Like, sales pages? What else? You know, what all
is involved? Okay, yeah, sure. You've got quite a few different types. Probably the most common type at the moment is email. Seems everyone wants to be an email copywriter. Yeah. As well as that, you've got your sales pages or product pages where somebody, well, you know, they go and they buy something from you. You then got what's known as squeeze pages. It's a bit of an old term that's maybe fallen out of fashion, but it basically means a page where you go and you give somebody your email address to subscribe to their list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got what's known as a VSL, which stands for video sales letter, which is basically a sales page or your product page, but in video form. And that they can be effective as well, but obviously they require a bit more effort to produce than a normal text sales page. And then you've got something like a webinar, for example, which is essentially a live video thing there. And that probably covers most. Oh, of course, you've got things like Google Ads, Facebook Ads, that type of thing. And I think that's probably about it. There will, of course, be millions more types that will go into my head as soon as we finish this conversation. But basically, it's anything to do with sales is probably the easiest way to put it. Anything where you're asking people for money at some point.
And when you work with clients and you talk about testimonials, like let's say you do work for a client, do they tell you how well the copy is performing, or do you usually have to like ask them for that? Or because I see on your Twitter you had done so much amount of money sold or something for the writing that you've done, but how do you actually get that from people so you can have that testimonial, or is it all just from the data?
Yeah, most of the time it's from the data, and clients will want to share it with you. So, yeah, I mean, when you're starting out, you'll probably find there are some weird clients who don't want you to know anything at all about anything. And there might be good reason for that. They don't want you to take what you've done for them and do it for somebody else or things like that. And sometimes they're scared of you telling their competitors. But no, generally in the direct response world, people are very happy to share with you. Or your copy failed and they're very unhappy to share it with you. But yeah, it's usually not that hard. People are happy to tell you okay. how much your copy's made and what it's done.
And then what? Okay, so what was the best thing that you did for yourself in the beginning when you first started out as a copywriter that you would suggest other people do?
Okay, probably the single best thing I did was I paid for coaching. I coached under a copywriter called Ray Edwards, and I spent a year training under him. And that was great for me because it boosted my confidence. You know, I'd read all these books. I've spent far too much money buying courses and all sorts of things like that. So I had all this knowledge in my head, but I'm still thinking, you know, am I good enough to do this? You're always a little bit of nerves. So for me, it was great to show something I'd written to, you know, this experienced copywriter and have him look over it, say what I did was, you know, was right, point out my mistakes. And that gave me the confidence to go out and start doing work and getting clients. So I think if anybody can afford it, you're always best to get some sort of coaching. Like maybe if you can't afford a coaching program, which I know can be expensive, it can be a good idea even just to buy an hour of someone's time. So, you know, you can say, hey, I've written this. Is any good? Am I going in the right direction? And that can be a massive help, I think. So, yes, I'd recommend that to any new copywriter.
And what do you think about creating a portfolio? Like, if you were to look at somebody's portfolio and it was maybe a good one, what do you think would be in there? Or what suggestions might you have for creating a portfolio?
When you're starting out, just almost anything you write can just go in a portfolio. And as well as that, because the direct response copywriting is so based on results, people are generally less interested in the actual writing as the results it brings in.
Okay.
Because, yeah, they'll understand that, let's say, if you write something for, I don't know, women's perfume, it would be in a completely different style to, let's say, if you wrote for, like, the 3-second death touch or something like that. So... what people really is, you know, is how well it does. So for your portfolio, just put you want to put your best pieces that have done the best. And as well as that, keep it updated over time. So if you write a new piece that's good, just drop it in. But yeah, always make sure to wherever possible, keep track of the results and use those.
And what, I guess in terms of like sales page, let's say, because I feel like that when people think of copywriting, I feel like they think of like sales pages. But let's say you saw a sales page and it was absolutely horrible. It was just the worst sales page you've ever seen. What do you think would be wrong with it? Or like, what do you think is the biggest mistake people make when writing sales pages?
Okay. The biggest mistake. I mean, the biggest mistake, I think, is a fairly simple one. It's not writing about the benefits of the product. It's not writing about what's in it for the potential buyer. They might say, you know, here's our widget. It's got, you know, 7 spondulics, 9 sprockets, 14 sub widgets. It's $9.79, buy it now. You know, you need to explain, what does it actually do? Why would somebody want this? What are the big benefits of it? And often, as long as you can get those big benefits in and clearly explain what it does, your sales page probably won't be that bad.
And so somebody has mentioned this to me before, when I talked about copywriting, and I wanted to know your opinion. And sometimes I ask other copywriters this. So do you think copywriting, or do you think, how do I phrase this? Sorry. Because it is sales, sometimes people, when they think about copywriting, they think about it as being manipulative in some way. But do you think about it in that way, or do you think it's just, it benefits people in the long run?
I think it's a tool at the end of the day, and it's going to depend on entirely how you use it. You can use it to sell scammy, low-quality products. You can lie in your copy. You can do all sorts of things. or you can sell good products that help people, and you can be truthful in your copy. So I don't think it's inherently good or bad. It is just a tool, and it's going to depend entirely on how you use it. And if for anyone thinking of going into copywriting, if you're even thinking about that question, it means you're probably going to be doing the right thing. And of course, there'll always be those who are looking to make a quick buck who will take advantage. But there's not much you can do about that. There always will be. So
yeah, that's good. I was thinking about actually how powerful copywriting is, because you speak to people's emotions, or you tell them, like you just said, the benefits of the product that could probably improve their lives in some way, right? Especially if they're searching for it. And I was thinking about like how powerful it is, and how it actually is everywhere. We just might not realize it. And even things that we don't think is copywriting, like maybe in politics or some other thing, I don't know. But, it's there too. So it is very powerful. I don't have a question for that. I just wanted to say that. That's what has been in my mind the last few days.
You're spot on. Because copywriting is ultimately just a form of communication. And so you can watch other people. Because like you said, if you watch politicians giving a speech, they're not saying that off the top of their head. They've had a carefully crafted speech written for them by experts who'll be using it to persuade people. And again, the same with religion, church leaders. They'll have their services and their sermons. It'll all be set out carefully for them to communicate clearly. So yes, I mean, if you want to get good at copy, they are good things to study. I think you can get a book. It's like Great Speeches of the Modern World or something like that by Penguin. And you get speeches from people like Winston Churchill, Barack Obama, and things like that. And you can see just how much care goes into them, and you'll spot lots of principles of persuasion and ideas that you can use in your copy. So yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to look that book up. That sounds really good.
Could have got the title completely wrong.
Okay, I'll look it up. But yeah, that sounds really interesting. I would love to read the Winston Churchill speeches, or like how they were put together, and then maybe listen to some. That would be really cool. I have never thought of that, but that is something I'm definitely gonna do now. So my next question for you was, because you have your own business, how do you actually plan your days and manage your time? Especially with maybe you take multiple projects, like that seems like it might get overwhelming.
Yeah, I probably run a fairly lazy business, really. I'm not Mr. Productivity. Let's do it that way. I work on one project at a time. Strictly speaking, I generally book my time out in weeks. So every project might be 1, 2 or however many weeks. And then my day, I usually split it into kind of two parts. And the first part is where I'm typically checking everything. I'm checking my emails. I'm getting all kind of the housework done, as it were. And I'm making sure I've got everything I need for when I write. I've got all the research. I've got any references I need. And then basically I'm just all setting myself up. And then the second session, typically late at night, if I'm a bit of a night owl, I will then just sit down and write. So yeah, that's pretty much my day. I've not got any great productivity hacks or tricks. I'll just take one client at a time and focus on them, so I don't need to think about anything else.
That's probably the best answer I've heard, because I'm not really big on the productivity stuff either. Maybe a few months ago, I want to say like six, seven months ago, I got into watching productivity YouTube very briefly, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll get into this and like optimize my time. And you know what? I just don't do it. I just get my work done, and then I just do what I want to do. I don't really try to do extra, and that's just me, but yeah, I don't know. This is a question I had about, what are your thoughts on using Upwork or Fiverr? Because I feel like there's a lot of, on Instagram, there's a lot of copywriters and freelancers that start, and then their advice is, oh, go on Upwork or Fiverr, and that's how you're going to start and get clients. Do you like that method, or do you not like that method?
That's not something I ever did, but I like that method. I know a lot of people who got started on there. I know a lot of people say, well, you can't get high-paying clients on there. You can't get really good clients. And I don't know, I've seen some people do that. But, yeah, in the main, you probably can't. but you can get started. You can get that experience. You can get those first testimonials, and then you can move off there when you've got the success, or, you know, that you want to take it to the next level. So yeah, I think they're a great way to connect you to people. I mean, as well as that, there are other specialist job boards that are often overlooked. For example, on Facebook, there's two very big groups that have their own job board. So for any copywriter, you want to be a member of the Cult of Copy job board and the Nothing Held Back job board. And they're both on Facebook, and there's a lot of jobs there, and they're typically a bit higher level than you'd get on Fiverr or Upwork.
Okay, this is awesome. I'm going to have to join those too. And that kind of brought me to my next question, which was niche or no niche. Do you agree? Or what do you think about niching down to serve one specific type of person? Do you think that is better? Or, you know, what's your opinion?
Yes. No. yes and no for that. I've got a niche, but I approach niching differently, because I think a lot of people, when they think of niching, they think of it like you said, in terms of serving one specific audience. But I've gone a slightly different way. I don't serve one audience. Instead of that, I solve one problem, and I focus on the problem I solve or the skill I have. It's like, if you think about ClickFunnels, you know, the website builder, funnel builder software, ClickFunnels. Now, there's not a ClickFunnels for plumbers, a ClickFunnels for writers, or a ClickFunnels for the poets, for example. It's just ClickFunnels, and they focus on the problem they solve. And, you know, they build funnels, and they've been incredibly successful doing that. And that's what I do. You know, I write sales pages that make sales. And I've done that in self-defense. I've done that in golf. I've done that in finance. I've done it in health, camping, survival, woodwork, all sorts of different niches, because the skill set transfers over. So I've not niched down, really, as you traditionally think of it. But, and again, I know a lot of people have, and it can be easier, because if you're, say, always writing in finance, then you know the trend, you can keep up with the market and everything like that. So, I mean, to start with, I'd recommend writers don't niche down at all, because you want to take a variety of projects to find out what you like and what you're good at. You know, for example, when I was starting, I thought health was one of the places I could go, because I was a little interested in it, and I know it's a big money niche. It turns out I don't like writing for health. I find it incredibly boring, you know, so I don't really do it. I've done a couple of projects, but it's not for me. So, yeah, I would write a variety of projects, and you'll find out what clicks for you.
That's really a different way of looking at it than most people, I think, because, like I said, I'm online a lot, especially on Twitter now, and most of the people that I've seen say choose a very specific niche, right? Like niche down as the tiniest niche that you can possibly get. And so I kind of like the way that you did it, though, like, and the explanation with ClickFunnels. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I will add, possibly hypocritically, if I'm working with a client, I will tell them to niche down. If you're selling a product, it's almost always a better idea to niche down. But for services, I think you can be more broad with people. Yeah. You know, and it can be a selling point as well. For example, you know, I can bring experience from a lot of different industries, and you get to see a lot of how things are done in different industries. You can bring them over to things, and you can, yeah, it broadens your experience and gives you more ideas.
And so what do you think it is? Do you think it's important to study human behavior, and how have you done that? Like, I know for me, I was interested in, writing, and then I got into copywriting. And I've been copywriting. I'm not saying I'm like a brilliant copywriter, but I've been doing it about, I would say 8 months now. And learning, and kind of like doing it the way you said, right? Just learning under people, and just doing it for their business on the back end of their business. And the reason I think I was interested in it was because, like you, you said you weren't like a very social person. I don't think I'm outwardly social, but I really enjoy studying people. Are you the same way, or like have you studied human behavior along with copywriting?
That's a good question. I think I had an advantage in that a lot of the jobs I worked were very much customer-facing jobs. Whether it was in supermarkets or in sales, I was always interacting with people. So, I learned a lot. I think if people have never worked, for example, in a supermarket on a till or stacking shelves, it can be an eye-opening experience to see just how badly people treat you and how rude some people will be if they view you as being below them. It's quite astonishing. So I learned a lot of it from that. And then as well as that, of course, I have read the classic books like Robert Cialdini's Influence, where he talks about how people are influenced. There's Robert Greene's books, 48 Laws of Power, 33 Strategies of War, I think. And he's also written a lesser known one on seduction. I can't remember the title, it might just be Seduction. That's really good as well. And there's a few other books, but my mind has gone blank for those books at the moment. Normally I check, but I'm on my iPad rather than the computer. And I'm pretty sure if I try to open a browser on this, I will lose this conversation straight away.
You'll be gone. Actually, that makes a lot of sense as well. The books, I've got a lot of Robert Greene books, but the other books that you've mentioned throughout this podcast, I'm going to have to look them up and get them because you're naming books I haven't read, and I read a lot of books, so I'll have to get them. And I do agree with your experience. Before writing, which now that's what I do, I was working at a supermarket. I worked, I stocked shelves. I wasn't on the tills. And then I left that and I was at a coffee shop. And you were totally right. People, there's a lot of wonderful people, really nice people. And then there's some people who are just having terrible days or something. I don't know. And they feel like they're just going to take it out on the world and you're there. So, you brought me back to that, which I don't want to go back to. you do not want to go back there. So let's, the last, just two more questions here. So, we talked about getting into copywriting, we talked about getting clients and all that stuff, and then you mentioned research. So, are you able to take us through any of your research methods on how you do that? You said you interview people, or do you just like go, look at different sites and then put it all on a Google Doc? Like, you know, what's your process for that? Because I think everybody kind of has a different one.
Yeah, I mean, for a start, I generally divide the research up. You've probably got about four different types of research. And we'll start with the easiest one. My mind can be thinking about answering the rest of the questions as we go. And the first one, this is one I think a lot of people don't think about. It's looking at what marketing your client has already done and what's worked for them and what's not worked for them. And that can be incredibly helpful to see. For example, if you write sales pages for them, and let's say they've had five sales pages that haven't worked in a row, and they've all used stories in those sales pages, because, you know, selling with stories is very trendy at the moment, then, you know, when it comes time to write your sales page for them, maybe don't go with the story. You know, for whatever reason, their audience doesn't like that. And alternatively, let's say their last three successful sales pages were all made very big promises in them, and they all worked. And that, you know, that straight away tells you that you want to be writing big promises and not stories. So, yes, looking into what your client's already done that works and doesn't work is a great resource for research, often overlooked. And then the next type of research, probably the most important, is understanding who the buyer is. You want to get to know who the buyer is. You want to get to know what they want, what they don't want, what language they use, and what objections they might have. And to find that out, what you're really doing is you're putting yourself into their shoes, essentially. So let's just say you're selling something, other popular ones, of course, is weight loss online. Let's say you're selling that, then just act as if they were, you know, go onto Google and type in, you know, how do I lose weight? And depending what you're selling, it might be how do I lose weight quickly? How, you know, all sorts of things. And then you'll start to see the type of videos they watch, what websites do they go to. You might find Reddit groups and Facebook groups, anything like that. You can start to dive in and see what they say. And then, as you know, you can copy and paste what they say, what they find into a a document. Some people have fancy spreadsheet layouts and things. I normally just do it into a plain doc. I'm not that organised. And then you soon start to spot patterns. You see what becomes most popular. And then you can start to put what you find in order. So, again, let's stick with a weight loss example. Let's say it's something like, I don't know, pick something I've never written for, typical. Let's say something like people don't enjoy the taste of salad. Oh, God. Then, you know, if you find 200 people have said that out of, say, 250, then that's probably something pretty strong. So you can put that at the top. And then, so yeah, when you've got all these responses, you can sort them in order of how often do they crop up and how much detail do people write about them. The more detail somebody writes, typically the more important something is. Oh, yeah. So where are we? Yeah, that's looking at what's worked and what's not worked for the client, looking at the prospect. Next thing is look at the market. In other words, you want to look at who else is selling to them and how are they selling? You know, what's their sales process like? What headline are they using? What promises are they making? What's their offer? What's the guarantee? You want to know all that because the last thing you want to do is end up with something that's exactly the same as them. So you always want to be looking for there so you can see what you can do that's different. And then the final main type of research is what you're selling. And you want to get to know this inside out. So you typically want to start by writing out all the features of it. And the features are kind of like the specifications of it. For example, you know, if it's a book, how many pages are there? How many chapters? You know, what does it teach? What does it go into? All that. And then when you've done that, you can then convert those into benefits. And then you also want to find out about the product, about why it was made and how it was made. So you typically need to talk to the client about that to find the story behind it, because the story can be a great way to sell it. And you can often uncover all sorts of things that you would never have thought of otherwise. For example, a very famous headline in the golf market is about a one-legged golfer, how far he could hit the ball. And it's one of those things that normally the copywriter would never have come across. But he spoke to the product owner, he spoke to the client, and they said, oh, I got the idea for this because I saw a man with one leg hitting a golf ball. And it's like, wow, you know, a one-legged golfer. That's an amazing thing to make, you know, to include in your headline. So, yeah, those are the four main types of research you want to do.
So, yeah, copywriters kind of have to be like investigators almost. When you talked about research for like looking at the market, do you think that, well, I guess that's kind of like, you're also looking at the competitors. Do you think that there's a balancing act there? Because you said you don't want to do the same thing as them, but if something is working, do you want to do something similar or, I don't know. Or do you think like that's a trap almost? You don't want to do, like you said, you don't want to be the same as them, but is there a middle ground?
You've sort of got two things you can try. This is something you can start to test with potentially test with a client. I think the first thing, probably the easiest, is see what's working and then copy it, but just add something different. And it might, you know, just be what's one extra element, what's something that differentiates you from everybody else. So if somebody is selling, I'm no good at examples. If somebody is selling, if everyone's selling phones and everyone's talking about how good the camera is and that's what all their things are, you might find something different to talk about, maybe a different aspect. If they're saying, we've got like 19 lenses, as they all come with now, and 25 million pixels, you might say, hey, we've got a camera with this, with optical image stabilization or something built in. You know, we've got this special mode in, just something different. And then the other approach is to go the complete opposite, is to look at what they're doing and do something completely different so you really do stand out. So like I said, for the phone market, if everyone's talking about the camera, you don't talk about the camera at all, you know, or you don't prioritise it, it's low down in the copy. Instead, you might even talk about how good it is as an actual phone, which, you know, not many people seem to use it as now, you know, how clear the microphone speakers are, how good the microphone is, something completely different.
And this question you might hate, people have mixed feelings over this question, but obviously it's a technology question. So do you embrace AI like ChatGPT or not? How do you feel about it?
Well, I've got a ChatGPT account and I've played with it a bit, but on the professional level, I don't think it's quite there yet. I know a lot of people said you can use it for research, but of course the trouble is it makes things up or hallucinates, as the technical term seems to be for it. But yeah, for me, there's too much stuff I've got to double check, go over. You know, if it says these 5 studies prove this thing, well, I've got to go and make sure those studies actually exist and it's not just made them up. And then when I found they exist, I've then got to make sure those studies say what it said they say. So for me, it's not quite where it needs to be yet, but it's definitely a powerful tool. And yeah, in the future, it's going to become as essential to copywriters, I think, as a calculator is to a mathematician or scientist.
Oh, that's a good example. I haven't heard that one yet, but that's actually really good. That makes, I think, a lot of what I've seen people talking about online is they're just afraid to think that it's going to do all of the work. And I don't really think it's, well, I don't think, like you said, it's there yet. And I think that there's a whole lot more that we do in terms of like studying people and research and putting it all together. But I haven't heard that example. And that, I think, is perfect, right? Because it didn't really, like, accountants are still accounting, but they have the calculator as a tool. So that's great.
I'm sure calculators and probably state-of-the-art maths computers, they probably have, some people will have lost their jobs. You know, there's probably not as many people working in industry, but there still is, and you still do need the skill. You know, you wouldn't want somebody who built to build a bridge for you to go over who's just done everything on a computer and has no skill. You know, you need somebody who can double check that and make sure the computer's not talking absolute rubbish. You know, it's like, why, if you learn maths at school, you still do it without a calculator to start with. You still need that basic skill. So, yes, I think it's going to be the same for copywriting.
And my last question, I guess, I just kind of thought up off the top of my head here, because we connected online because I had made a post and then somebody had mentioned you. And so how crucial do you think it is for copywriters today, in new copywriters, to have a presence online? And do you think that it's mandatory to like grow your own social media, or do you think you can do it without it? Or like how, and how has it helped you, I'm going to say?
Okay, that's a great question. When I started out, back in 2009, social media wasn't really a thing. Obviously, it was around, but it was very much in its infancy, and forums were popular then. And I started posting on the forum known as the Warrior Forum, which at the time was very popular for the make money online crowd and all that. And that did help me because it got me, you know, it got my work, well, not even work, just my answers, my posts in front of people who knew what they were talking about. And it helped me network and get to know people. And it did lead to me getting jobs. But once I'd had a bit of success, I kind of then stepped away from the whole posting online thing. And I almost went, radio silent, essentially, and just worked with clients. And it's only been, I think it's since 2021, that I started this my Twitter account or X account, whatever it's called now, and restarted. So for me, it was useful. For people now, I don't know, because there's a lot of noise online. Yeah. It's difficult to stand out. I think I was able to stand out and I've built a pretty decent following. But that's because I've had, you know, over a decade's worth of experience before then. I've got a lot of knowledge to share. And, you know, you see a lot of beginner copywriters on there and they're struggling to get any traction because they haven't really got any knowledge or skill to share yet, simply because they've not got that experience. So I'm not convinced it's that important anymore. I think you could spend a lot of time on it, hours every day, scrolling through posts, replying, typing up, and not actually get any clients off it or achieve anything. So I'd say it can be a good idea to have it and build it up over time. But I wouldn't make it a priority. You know, maybe limit your entire time on social media to 1 hour a day at the most and don't go beyond that. I mean, something I will add as well is a lot of the people, especially copywriters, anyone wanting clients online, they often write content for other copywriters or other people. So if it's someone in SEO, they'll write for other SEOers. If it's like photographers, they'll write for other photographers. And of course, if you're trying to get clients, that's the wrong audience. You need to write content aimed at the people you want to give you money. So you do need to know who do you want to attract and make sure your content is targeted at them. It's a marketing basic that, again, every copywriter should know. But when we do it for ourselves, it's very easy to forget.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, that's perfect to point out. I know a copywriter that I was following, and I really loved her work. And I wondered how she was growing, because it seemed like she had grown a lot. And that's what I saw in her stuff, was she wasn't writing to copywriters on her blog. Her market was in the luxury market. So she was writing to luxury brands and sharing with them like what they could be doing and writing, then adding a little CTA about working with her at the bottom. And I thought that was perfect. But of course, I haven't done that, and you know, but I know that you should. So that was all my questions for today, but I really love this conversation, and I can see why you are a copywriter, because even in your responses, you're telling stories, and it was very entertaining, and I know that people are going to love this episode. So if it's possible, can you let us know where to find you online and how to reach out to you if it's okay that people do?
Yes, I'm just on Twitter or X at the moment under Andrew Wright Copy. I've been meaning to get a website, but I've been meaning to for 10 years now. And so I'm probably never going to get one at the rate I'm going, because I've not needed one. So yes, just on Twitter. If anybody's got any questions, my DMs are always open. Anybody can get in touch with me. I always try to reply to everything I get on there, because I think social media, it's social. A lot of people forget that, but I always try to reply to all the comments I receive, and even on the tweets I try to reply to as much as possible.